Welcome to the Everyday Game Changers podcast. You will hear from everyday people in business, music, community, and more who are changing the game. And now your host, marketing expert, and personal branding specialist, Varian McQueen.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Everyday Game Changers podcast. I'm your host, Varian McQueen, and you know how we do each and every week, talking to game changers in business, music, community, and more. And today's guest definitely falls in the business category, but she do a lot more than just that. I got Samantha Ramna Ryan in the building. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Woo! Big claps, and we got our live studio audience. Woo! Samantha in the building.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here with you.
You know, we already had so many great conversations, but for what's your introduction? When somebody says, who is Samantha? Give me your...
Samantha Ramna Ryan is the pit bull.
The pit bull. The pit bull. Told me you get that.
I get that a lot. That's what all my clients call me, especially on the radio. It's a pit bull.
So give them some perspective when you say clients, the space that you're in.
So I own a attorney and medical referral service, which is called CARS, which stands for Car Accident Referral Services. I am the only one in the entire state of Florida that has permission from the Florida Bar that when you get into a car accident, slip and fall, and workers' comp, all of my attorneys take 25% instead of a third or 40%. Mm. So regardless if we take your case to court or not, all of my attorneys take 25% up to a $1 million settlement. We put up to 15% more into the client's pockets.
How do you get into this space?
I was 16 years old. I worked for 8 chiropractors, and that's how I got started.
When you say chiropractor, so like you just was like, that was your first job?
No, my first job was at Publix at 14, bagging groceries.
Oh, yes. Snap. Shout out Publix.
Yes.
Publix breeds some successful people once they leave.
Absolutely. I still have Publix 401k, so I'm proud for that.
Really?
Yes.
I heard they have, like, once you get in there, people don't really leave Publix.
Mm-hmm. No.
Publix. Angel's a Publix representative.
No, I agree. Listen, nobody was hiring you at 14 years old except for Publix. Publix did not care. You could work 25 hours a week at 14, and as long as you worked more than 20 hours a week, you were entitled for the 401k, and they matched back then. They matched 4%.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I'm going to share something that I never share here on Everyday Game Changers. My very first job, other than the little lemonade stand type stuff I did as a kid, I pushed carts at the grocery store. It was called parcel pickup. At the time, that's the correct term for it. Not the cart guy for all the ignorant people that say, tell that guy to go out there and round those carts up. But that was my first job. I loved that job. I was so cool with the general manager, and it was a Wendy's in our shopping center where the supermarket was. And he would say, Bear, I'm in the mood for Wendy's. But he would always let me keep the change, but he always gave me 100. And I'm like, oh, I get my paycheck and then an extra $80 because he don't want his change back. So I'm like, you want all the stuff off the dollar menu or you want like an actual number? And he's like, Albert, let's get a couple things for us and you just keep the change. And I would just go to his office like, hey, Rob, you thinking Wendy's? Or he's just like, sure. I'm like, oh, now I can pay my cell phone bill now that he just cast me out. Publix.
Yeah, Publix.
And how do you get into this working for chiropractors from Publix, though?
My parents were like, if you want the $100 pair of sneakers, you got to work for it. Mm. So I looked in the papers. I went to high school and then I worked Monday through Friday from 1 to 8 and then Saturdays from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Well, and what's your introduction? Like, all right, from that experience working for these different chiropractors, I see a need to do what
I got to meet a lot of attorneys, a lot of attorneys. And I got to meet a lot of doctors and I just wanted to help people. And then I went to the Florida Bar and I got permission to where I can do the 25%. I actually had a client that was a police officer and he lost his leg in a car accident. Mm. He went to a very big law firm in Miami and the case settled for $1.9 million. The attorney right off the bat took 40%. By the time he paid all of his medical bills, all of his surgeries, everything, the client walked away with 19%.
Wow.
And that's how I started my company because we used to do 25% for firefighters, military, and law enforcement.
Oh, okay.
And then 9 years ago, I went to the Florida Bar and I asked for permission to do it for the entire state of Florida. Mm. And then 6.5 years ago, they granted me permission where I can do the 25% for the entire state of Florida. Did not matter what the person did, where they work, I can do 25% for the entire state of Florida up to a $1 million settlement.
So that was just like something that was allotted for certain groups.
Yes.
If you served or something like that.
Correct. Well, because listen, when you lose a body part and you're law enforcement, it's very hard, number one.
Yeah.
Because that's your daily life. Number two, when an attorney takes 40%, that just shows me that that attorney did not care. Because most attorneys, if I talk to them and say, hey, this person lost a body part, this person lost a family member, they would even do it for 20%. And for that attorney, and it's a very big law firm, that's what's sad, because the biggest complaint that I get right now when I do my talk shows on radio is that, Samantha, if it wasn't for TV or billboards, I would never know what the attorney looks like. You have so many big, big law firms out there right now in Miami, Fort Lauderdale, that they're like, hey, I'm attorney so-and-so. You call me and you will speak to me directly. Never happens. Never happens. I had a client. I got the passenger on Monday signed. She came to me because she was referred to me by a friend. He was just not having it. He wanted to go to this big law firm. And I said, no problem. I said, if you change your mind, here's my cell phone, you know, whatever, call me. This morning, my client sends me a text message that he sent, and he was like, wow, Samantha's really moving quickly. You already got to the Cairo. You already did an MRI. It's only been 5 days. You know, this attorney's office hasn't even called me. I haven't even gotten a doctor's office. I haven't even been to a chiropractor, nothing. Calls me this morning, and he was like, hey, I want you to fire my attorney, and I want to come to you. I let people learn because, listen, I tell them, you're going to come back to me. You're going to call me 6 months from now, and you're going to say, you know what, Samantha, I'm sorry. I should have, I could have, I didn't. And it's okay. I don't beg anybody. I let them learn for themselves.
Yeah, 100%.
Because that's how I did. I had to learn, you know, and you know, you have to feel.
Of course.
I've always been that child. My parents always told me, you have to feel in order to learn. And that's the only way that I learned. So I don't beg clients. I love my clients. I love my Caribbean community. I love my Hispanic. You know, it's all about helping the community. And to me, if I make less money, people don't realize you're going to make even more money, but you are doing so much more for people.
Right.
People are going to refer you their friends, their coworkers, their neighbors. People don't understand that. Like when these attorneys are taking 40%, even after COVID, I had attorneys that were just charging a third, and let's say 10% of their clients in like 20 years was going to court. Now, since COVID, because they lost 3 years and all that money, 90% of these big law firms are trying to take their case to court so they can collect 40%.
Wow.
And a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people, they're like, Samantha, the attorney came, or the investigator came, and they're like, sign here, here, and here, and that's it.
What's that? Because I actually don't want to shout out none of those people that I hear now that you told me that, but I hear the commercials on the radio, and then, you know, at the end of the commercial, really, in a really low voice, it says, attorney is not a spokesperson. Right? And I'm like, but the company is called Big Franks. And then at the end of the commercial, it says, but Frank is not an attorney. He's just a spokesperson. And I'm like, what does that mean? So, like, walk me through, like, what's that process like of, okay, I got in a car accident. What's supposed to be my first steps?
When you get into a car accident, first of all, you make sure that you're okay. Okay. That's number one. It's you. Nothing else matters than you. Number two, call 911.
Okay.
So many people, you know, don't call 911. They exchange information. And I'm like, listen, that person, when you call them tomorrow, are going to be like, who are you talking to? They usually hide their car in the garage. You know, you have no clue who they are.
Right.
So I always tell them, call 911. Okay. Make sure you get a police report always. While you're calling 911 and you're waiting for them, take pictures, especially if you can take a picture of the license plate, take a picture of that. So many people, I had a client last night, we were sitting at home playing dominoes, and my friends couldn't believe that clients were calling me after midnight. And it was a car of five people, all friends, and they were in a very bad accident. They literally chased the guy for 20 minutes and they got the license plate. I try to tell people not to do that because, number one, very, very dangerous. It's not worth
your life. Everybody carry out here.
Yeah, it's not worth your life. Yeah, yeah. You know, they got very lucky that they got the license plate. Yeah. The police officer went to their house. The person got arrested.
Wow.
You know, and that story turned out pretty good. But I try to tell people, always take a picture of the license plate so you don't have to go chase them.
Got it.
And then, like, because most people would be like, oh, I'm going to go back to my car, and then they just take off.
Right.
So I always tell people, as long as you're okay, just take a quick picture of their license plate while you're waiting for the police officer. If that person is willing to give you their license, their insurance card, and all that stuff, then yes.
Right.
If not, it's okay. Take pictures of their car damages. Take pictures of your car damages. But as long as you have a picture of their license plate, if they want to take off, let them take off. But that's what I would do. The two most important things is call 911 and, you know, make sure you're okay. And then take a picture of their license plate.
And then from that, is that when they get a company like yours involved? Like, I got my police report, got my pictures. Now I'm calling Samantha where I need some bread.
I love when people call me at the scene of the accident. Mm. I really do. A lot of people don't realize. So a lot of, it's not cops that's really doing the police reports. They're service aides. They're not police officers. They're literally service aides. Mm. A lot of them don't want to do a police report because it takes time. Right. So I tell them, listen, if they do not want to do a police report, you call me. Because I will tell them you need to do a police report.
Because
they'll be like, oh, it's only $500 damages. I don't care if it's $5.
Right.
That person hit my car. I want proof on writing, on paper, that that person hit my car and I want them to fix it. So I tell them, put them on the phone. So I always tell them, after 911, call CARS. That's exactly what I tell them.
I like that process.
And back to what you were saying. So I'm going to give you an example. When you see that little fine print, that fine print is always in white letters, especially on TV, and it's always at the bottom.
So you can't barely read it.
Correct. It's always white on white is what they do, so you cannot read it. And then on billboards, it's the same thing. It's always, always, always at the bottom. And it's funny because for attorneys, they can put it all the way at the bottom. For companies like myself, that's an attorney and medical referral service, they want it right in the middle, slam dang right in the middle so people know. And I find that very funny because you have so many big law firms out there and it says, this law firm got me $850,000. This law firm got me $1.2 million. And all the way at the bottom, it says results are not typical for marketing purposes only in very, very fine print. And that's why people are like, well, I
that's a law that requires them to say that though?
Correct.
Okay.
But the problem is that it should be a law that you it has to be readable.
Yeah.
It has to be readable. And it's not.
Yeah, because it's deceiving the public.
Correct. So that's why I take a lot of pictures when people tell me that. And I show them. I was like, listen, when you saw that billboard or when you saw that advertisement on TV, did you actually see that? They're like, no, had no clue. They're thinking what they're looking at. And marketing is an important tool. So when these attorneys are doing it, the percentage or the amount, like the $850,000, is always at the right-hand corner because that's where your eyes are focusing, on the right-hand corner of the $850,000. Your eyes are not focusing at the bottom that says results are not typical. These are paid actors. So my company now, we've been doing this over 20-plus years. I have never paid a single actor or actress. Every radio advertisement that I do, it's an actual client. I do not pay them. They just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. Every video, every social media post, every picture, everyone are real CARS clients.
Wow.
That's the difference between us and anybody else. Any of my clients that do our radio commercials, those are all clients. I refuse to pay anybody. Anybody that's not a client, I won't. And I don't have to pay my clients. My clients just want to go and be like, listen, this girl is for real.
Right.
Like, that's why they call you the pit bull, because listen, you're blunt. Do I yell and scream at the attorneys? Absolutely. Do I yell and scream at the doctors? Absolutely. Yeah. Because to me, the only person that I care about is the patient and the client, nobody else. If your attorney can't get on the phone with you, then what type of attorney is that? I make sure that I see every single person. Like last week, we went to Wesley Chapel. Then we went to Orlando. Then we went to Tampa.
Wow.
Just to meet my clients. My clients will always meet me within 30 days of their accident. Doesn't matter where they are in Florida. I will see every single client face to face. Because the biggest thing is that they don't even want to shake their hands. So many patients will call me and say, you know, you were so right. This attorney, you know, took a picture with this big check. And by the time I went to go talk to him, he disappears. He just goes there just to take the photo up and he's gone. Half of these big law firms are not even in their offices. They have other attorneys that they just pay and they just do the work and that's it. These big, big law firms, they're just the face of it. But you never get to speak to them. And that's where the biggest problem is. Biggest problem is they're like, I'm always talking to the case manager. I'm always talking to the paralegal. I'm never speaking.
It's a bunch of buffers in between. So you never.
And if you can't speak to that attorney, you know, that's like I tell them, you know, when it says size matters, size really doesn't matter. Because do you really want to be treated as a mill?
Yeah.
Because that's what you're being treated as a number.
Yeah.
You know, so many people tell me, you know, they, like, there's other attorney referral services out there. And they're like, you know, they, I go to these offices, they slap a hat pack on me. I never see the doctor. I never get adjusted. And that's it.
Wow.
And if you're not seeing a chiropractor, if that chiropractor is not adjusting you every single week, then why are you going? And the biggest thing is, and it happens a lot, especially in Miami, where I tell clients to stay away from this. So let's say you got into a car accident. Attorneys are now buying your police reports for money illegally because your police report is not ready until 30 days publicly. So what the attorneys are doing is they're going to call you and they're going to say, hey, I'm so-and-so from State Farm or from Progressive or Allstate, and they told me to call you to help you. Number one, there's not a single insurance company that is going to have an attorney call you. That is number one. But so many people are so trusting, they let these people in their home, in their work, in their office, because they have their policy number. Remember, all that information is on the police report.
Wow.
So what I tell them, I'm like, listen, do me a favor. And the number on the back of your card, tell the person, hey, let me have your name and phone number. Let me call the number on back of my insurance card. Let me ask for you there. And that's what I tell them. Now people start to do that. And they're like, "What?" I'm like, what happened? They're like, oh, they hang up. But the last few clients have been three big law firms that's in Miami. And that's where buying police reports, yeah. And telling people that the insurance company told them to call them.
There's always a dark side to every industry.
No, like, but that's why I want people to listen, especially my Caribbean people.
Yeah.
I want people to stop taking advantage of them. Mm. My Hispanic people, I'm tired of people taking advantage of them because they don't speak English. Mm. And I'm telling you, like when I have a translator, they'll translate to me and they'll be like, oh, the investigator came to the house, you know, and they're like, just sign here, there, and there. And they're like, the attorney will call you tomorrow. The attorney never calls them.
And they just sign.
And then I'm like, do you have a copy of your contract? They're like, no. So then I'm like, okay, well, call your attorney's office and get them a contract. Do you know how long it takes them to get a copy of the contract?
Wow.
It takes them 1, 2, 3 for them to have somebody show up to their house. But to get to a copy, I'm like, listen, even if it's a car's client, you make sure that you get a copy. I don't care which company you go to, even if it's my own. If my attorney is not giving you a copy of the contract you sign, we have a problem.
Wow.
Because you should be able to keep a copy of your contract. Yeah.
Where do you have like a, I feel like you should have a YouTube channel like busting all the, like think about this, like on Instagram, they used to have a guy that was like the fake watch buster, and he used to bust all the celebrities that had like fake Rolexes and Breitlings, and he would break down everything on their watches. You should have like an attorney busting platform that goes with the Pitbull.
I'm already the most hated person in the entire state of Florida.
And I'm trying to get a YouTube channel.
Because every attorney is like, Samantha, you're killing our business because you are doing 25% versus the 40%. Mm. And I'm like, listen, the patient got hurt. The patient just got a new car. The car is now being totaled.
Right.
The patient lost a body part. The patient had surgery. The patient lost a family member. Mm. And you want to take 40%?
Basically, 40%. Nothing, yeah.
And all you're doing is paperwork. Like, if you really look at these attorneys, half of them don't even go to court. Half of them, it's pushing papers is what it is. And when they do go to court, it's the paralegal and the case manager that already has everything nice and pretty. And they're just going there to be the face of the attorney.
The performance.
That's it. Yeah. And that's it.
Wow.
And that's why I laugh, because when these attorneys are like, well, you're killing me. Because like back in the days, you remember real estate. Real estate, they used to be able to do 9%, 10%. Now it's between 3 to 7%.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm like, listen, I'm doing the same thing. What? Mm-hmm. Listen, you're getting 25%. 25%. You were not the client that got hurt.
Right.
You don't think that attorney should take 25%?
Wow.
I don't know. To me, it's a numbers game. I'd rather please 20 people at 25% than please 5 people at 40%. And they're never going to refer you business. They're going to be like, wow, this person just took 40% from me.
Wow.
And that's why I kind of tell people, do the numbers. Like when you walk away, like you say you walk away with 10, 15, 20, 25,000. You want to know what you could have walked away with cars?
Yeah.
Like, do the numbers. Mm. When these attorneys are and it's not only that, it's 33 and a third plus cost. It's 40% plus their cost also. Mm. And they're not realizing that.
Oh, it's not just the when if they win type thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is the accrued
correct.
Hours.
So if the attorney is taking your case to court, let's say now he had to have 4 or 5 people to testify. Those are depositions. All that you're paying for, all that's cost. Every mailing, every single thing that they needed from the hospital, the doctors, all that's medical records, all that you're paying for.
All the miscellaneous.
Correct.
Fees.
That's your plus cost that nobody knows about.
Wow.
But yeah.
What? I mean, other than you kind of really pulling back the curtain on this, who else in this industry is doing what you do?
Nobody else. There's our attorney and medical referral services.
Yeah.
But all of those are 33 and a third and 40%. It's funny. I had an attorney bring something to my attention a couple days ago. And there is a person that owns an attorney and medical referral service. So what this person did is on their company, they put cars as in K-A-R-S on their Instagram. Yeah.
So you out here inspiring.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, no problem. So you know what I did? I was like, keep calm. Car accident referral services is here for you. Oh, you're going to play on my name, on my company. I'm going to play on your name with my company.
Wow.
So I started doing tons and tons of sponsor ads.
Yeah.
Let's just say I became even more hated, and I'm okay with that.
Oh, my God.
Because to me, Samantha, if you're going to steal the name of my company, yeah, and the only thing you're changing, because I have a trademark on it. I have a trademark and a trademark. What's the other thing I'm trying to get to here?
Oh, you showed me your thing. You had the thing when
trademark,
you got it done.
I can't think of the other name. But yeah, but if you're going to play on my name of my company, I'm going to do that. So every time now when I do something on social media, I'm like, keep calm. Samantha Ramtharine is here from Car Accident Referral Services.
My goodness. That's so, like, did you always want to be like in this entrepreneurial space or?
No, I'm Indian. So you were either supposed to get married at 15 or you were supposed to go to college. Mm. I hated school. I barely graduated high school if it wasn't for my mother.
Yeah.
I had to go to night school and her driving me there every day in order to graduate with my class. And I went to college and I dropped out. So, no, school was never my thing.
So you this rebel.
Yeah.
And you just nothing traditional.
Mm-mm.
And talk to me a little bit about that culture, because in a past life, I was very intrigued by the Indian culture. I learned a lot of stuff that I didn't know. At the time, I was dating a girl. She was a Patel. And it just was like, oh, you know, technically you have to marry a Patel. And I'm just like, so I basically wasted a year dealing with. But you are like the complete opposite of every. How does that affect like the family dynamic? Like
nothing. I'm Hindu. My husband's Catholic. My husband's half Indian, half Spanish. You know, I love who I love. I dated every, you know, color. It did not matter to me. To me, it's all about the person. You know, when you're Hindu and you were born Hindu and now your kids are half Catholic, half Hindu, they get both worlds. I'm okay with that. Religion is religion. As long as you're very spiritual and you believe in something, that's all that matters to me. I want my kids to be very spiritual. I want them to be very well-rounded.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's how my parents, listen, they had problems, you know, with me when I was younger. Dating this person, dating that. But you know what? They came to realize that love is love.
Right.
You can't help who you fall in love with. But just like age, you know, people, you know, get to know better. And especially like the times we're living in now and how everybody's changing. And, you know, what are you going to do?
I feel like I'm so, I don't want to say confused. It's a lot to digest now with what you can and can't say and. Is these all these different groups you got? Like I'm, especially like the LGBTQ. I stay away from it because one, I don't understand it, so I don't feel comfortable talking on it. But then it's just like, I feel like it's just thrown in my face a lot.
See, and it's funny. I'm okay with that. You know what I don't understand?
What?
And you don't have kids yet.
Okay.
And when you do, you're gonna like, what the Paw Patrol? And I'll tell you why. Do you know what a flurry is?
Oh, we talked.
Yes.
With so the kids that I could identify as animals.
Correct. So I could take the LGBTQT. I have no problem with that.
It's the new version.
It's a new version of where a kid, when a kid is 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, says that they want a litter box in the school because they identify themselves as a cat or a dog.
Man,
that is what I can't understand.
Where's my camera at? We're living in the last days. Jesus is making a return. Jesus is making a return soon. That at the schools now is going to be litter boxes for the children who identify as flurries and come to school with leashes and harnesses and poop bags in the pocket. Like, wow.
See, and back in the days, mine and your days,
yeah,
we would get beat up for that.
Oh my god!
But the problem is there are more flurries than there is
the kids. People to beat up the flurries.
Yeah. See, exactly.
Man, Samantha, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm so nervous to raise a kid right now. Like, me and my wife are great, go down that path, and it's, I'm nervous, man. I feel like I want to just have my kid and keep him in the house away from, like, I'm a wreck because I'm just like, it ain't but so much you can do when they're exposed to everybody's other stuff and then the internet, and then they got access to so much. Like, I'm from the play outside after school era. Like, you go play football.
Here's
when
the
street lights come on, you get your ass in the house, right? But my family came and my nieces in there. I'm like, yo, man, y'all want to go outside? And, nah, it's hot out there.
Technology?
Yeah, I'm like, but y'all want to go to the park? Or y'all want to go to the pool? And do? Nah, man, I got my iPad here and I'm just like, oh my gosh. Nobody plays outside no more.
Mm-mm.
I'm scared.
See, I will tell you this. When you have a kid, it's what you do in your household.
Mm.
A lot of people don't really want to blame themselves. And when I mean people, I mean parents.
Mm.
My parents were very strict on me. Mm-hmm. We never had to worry about clothes or anything. You know, my parents always bought the appropriate clothes.
Right.
So to me, I always believe that it falls in the home first. If you teach your kids well,
yeah,
your kids will learn. And then if at 18 years old, they decide to go a different path, that's on them. But if you know you gave your kids 100%,
yeah.
Listen, I give my kids 100% every single day. If they decide to screw up their life or do something stupid, yeah. That's on them.
Yeah, you
like, I can
part.
Live correct. Like, in other words, to me, just live with your conscience. If you know that you gave your kids 100%, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
That like really that. Is.
How do you balance all that you have going on in business, but you're a wife, too? How do you balance both of those?
Quality.
I guess I could ask him on camera. But I want to ask you, how do you balance that?
Quality over quantity. Mm. I take my kids everywhere. It does not matter. If I have to leave more than 24 hours, my kids will go with me.
Mm.
Does not matter. I'm a package deal. Regardless if I'm working or not or wherever I am in the world, my kids are always, always with me.
Mm.
My husband's with me. And that's, you know, that's just how it is. People always say, like, you guys have a perfect marriage. I'm like, there's no such thing as a perfect marriage, right. Sweetie. Him and I fight every day. We make up. Listen, if somebody tells you you have a perfect marriage, they're lying to you. It's all up. We have a great marriage, but it's all about communication. Mm. It really, really is. You still have to listen. We just celebrated 14 years. You still got to do date nights. You still got to do things. You know, just because you have a man or a woman doesn't mean you're done.
Right.
No, you got to make sure that, you know, we're a team. You know, he compliments me. I compliment him. And we parent very, very well because we kind of be on the same page.
Yeah.
It's not like, well, I tell the kids one thing and then he tells and then we're all just constantly.
Yeah.
No, you just have to be on the same page. And to me, if you make the time for anything, I always tell people, you make the time for what's important to you.
Mm.
And if I'm important to you, you're going to make time. So to me, if I make time for people and I'm seeing them or I'm calling you or I'm texting you, know that you have a seat at my table.
Yeah. So for the people watching this, y'all don't know how very well traveled Samantha is. If you got to give me your top five places that people have to visit. You don't have to do them in no particular order, but give me your top five places.
Well, number one is my country, Guyana. So I have to shout that out. So yes, born and raised there. Number two, I would say Scotland.
Okay.
Number three would be Australia.
Mm.
Number four would be Fiji. Mm. And number five would be Monte Carlo.
Monte Carlo.
Yes.
I've been getting ads from these dollar houses you can get in Italy if they're trying to get people to move to Italy. And they're like, oh, they're giving you a $60,000 grant and you come here and start a business. And then my wife runs into my room. She's like, hey, I wanted to talk to you. I'm like, what's up? She's like, so I've been thinking about Italy lately. And I'm like, oh, you seen the ad too? Like, I want to go to Japan. I want to go to Thailand. I have to go to Scotland now after going to Ireland and not knowing my last name wasn't Irish. It was Scottish. And then you told me how amazing Scotland
and you
was.
Were 45 minutes away.
45
by plane.
No clue. So I still got to go to Scotland. I don't know if I want to do Greece. I haven't done it. I guess I can go there and get a nice picture.
You know, it's like, funny, Greece we did, and I told my husband, I'm like, you know, what happened to the Greece that I saw in the movie, The Traveling Pants?
Mm.
And he's like, Samantha, you don't think they paint and make everything pretty?
Mm.
And it's funny, because he loves gyros. Went to Greece, had a gyro, disgusting.
Really?
Yeah. It's same thing like Italy. People think like Italy has the best pizza.
Yeah.
No.
I'm not a fan of food in Europe in general. London, my first time going to London, as soon as I got off the plane, we're starving. It was a long flight. And I'm like, yo, we got to eat somewhere. And they're like, all right, man, but we didn't convert our money at the airport. And like, we got to go do this conversion. And I'm like, all right, cool. We do the conversion. And there's a place in London called The Perfect Fried Chicken. I'm like, oh, that's me. I'm starving. Let's go to The Perfect Fried Chicken. We in London. I was maybe 18, so we just thought we were so grown. I bit into this chicken, and I swear I could still feel the chicken's calf pump. Like, it was so raw. Blood. I'm like, who gave me raw? Because it looked crispy on the outside. So I'm like, oh, chicken look the texture. I have a tough time with food in Europe. I don't think none of it's good. Ireland was good.
Ireland was good.
Spain, amazing.
Spain, I enjoyed.
I gained at least 10 pounds in Spain.
I didn't gain so many.
I went to Australia? Mm-hmm. Lost 10 pounds.
Why?
I didn't like the food there.
You had the best lamb. You should have had a lamb burger.
Oh, see, I was trying to do what the locals had me on, kangaroo meat.
You should have had a nice lamb burger, man, is what you should have had. Nice lamb burger is what you should have had.
That's not what the locals told me. They had me eating right from somebody's pouch. Mm-mm. Kangaroo meat.
Lamb burger.
Oh, they took me to see the oldest crocodile that had one eye, half his tail was missing. Oh, okay. So what's the best, what city in Australia you went to?
Oh, this was years ago.
Because I think we did what? Sydney, and then...
We did Sydney. We did three of them.
What is it? Bondi Beach, I think.
We did it. This was probably 15, 16 years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So you ain't been back since. No. What's on your next list to go?
We go to Portugal in September. Portugal seems to be the hot spot right now.
I've been hearing that.
Yeah. Thank God we bought our ticket last March.
It's crazy now?
Yeah.
Wow, to get to Portugal. I've been hearing that that's a go-to. Some of my real estate people are like, oh, you got to go to Portugal.
My girlfriend's celebrating her 40th. Birthday, and I'm taking the kids, the husband and the parents.
How important is that to travel for you?
I love to travel because I can do any of my talk shows. I can work anywhere in the world, but I refuse to leave my family behind. We're a family of six, and my parents, my husband, everybody comes together.
Fire.
Because you feel guilty. You know what I mean? Like, especially when you're going to go to Portugal, if it's a state or a country that I've already been to, it's okay. I can leave them home. But if it's something that's on my parents or my husband's bucket list, I want to be able to do that. Yeah. Like, I'm not that person that I go to this country every single year and I stay at the same hotel every single year. I want to see the world. Mm. And I love when my kids, like, especially like we went to Paris, the French Alps, and Switzerland in January of this year. And I loved when my kid was studying the Eiffel Tower and he was actually able to tell his teacher that he actually went up to the Eiffel Tower. He saw it, he touched it, and it's really nice.
Yeah.
I make fun of my parents because I'm like, listen, if you wanted me to be a very good scholar in school, you should have taken me like to the Grand Canyon. You should have taken me to the Hoover Dam, but my parents financially couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
And you know, my kids, when they learn the Hoover Dam or they learn the Grand Canyon, they can actually say they went to. I didn't go there till I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
So I think that the history that they learn, I think it's amazing because anybody can read in a book. 100%. When you're a kid and you can actually read in the book and say, I was actually there, to me, it's just something different. I'd rather spend money on that than on travel, than on the materialistic stuff. Mm.
Talk a little bit about your talk shows, though, because you do like a lot.
I do over 137 talk shows on 9 stations a week, 7 days a week. And I talk about anything. It can be anything going on in the world. It could be, you know, just putting Rain-X on your windshield, checking your tire pressure. Because, see, you laugh. But I'll tell you, a lot of people get into car accidents because of that. Mm. And as much as I want people's business, I want them coming home to their loved ones.
Right.
So if I can just tell them, hey, just make sure you spray Rain-X. Or, hey, you know how many people are not checking their tire pressure? And then they get a blowout and then they crash into a wall or they crash into somebody. And they have no idea that their tire needed air. Yeah. Nobody checks that anymore.
Shout out to Elon, who sends these nice updates when the cold pressure changes. And I see my tire got a little orange caution button on my tire. But nah, that's great information, though, that
could help everybody, really.
Well, even that, like right now, there's so many. So let me ask you a question. How many people, you know, you're supposed to have personal injury protection, which is PIP, yes. right? What percentage in the entire state of Florida do you think have personal injury protection, bodily injury, and uninsured motorists right now?
The percentage?
Yes.
70.
No. Flip that. 70% does not have it.
Really?
And so, yeah. And that's what I encourage. All week this week, because so many people got so mad. When I tell you mad, we probably had to drop almost 23 clients this week because they did not have uninsured motorists or bodily injury, and the person that hit them did not have bodily injury or uninsured motorists. And that's where the problem is. The problem is if you don't have insurance and they don't have insurance, what happens?
Wow.
Let's say now you bought a 2023 Lincoln Navigator. Yeah. Okay? You now have $16,000 worth of damages. Who do you think is paying for that?
Wow.
You out of your pocket. And that's why some of these clients get really, really upset. They curse. They scream.
These car places don't require that, though?
They used to. But ever since COVID, nobody's checking them. Really? Even when you used to lease a car. Like if you got a nice, fancy Lexus or Mercedes.
They had like a requirement.
You correct.
Had
to. And what happens is that they will take out the insurance for that month.
Oh, and then cancel they
let
it.
Well, sometimes they don't even cancel it. They let it lapse.
Really?
Yeah. Just to drive off the car.
And the finance company don't check this stuff.
No, because they're paying for the they're paying their monthly fee for the car. And yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Remember, most of these people are working from home now. So
I would not even feel comfortable not having that for anything I drive. Even my cars that's paid off. When I was younger, when I would pay my car off, I'm like, all right, drop that down to liability because something happened. But now I'm like, I need that on all of the cars.
I drove a Nissan Maxima for 13 years until it died on me 2 years ago in Miami. Wow. And when I tell you, I had all the insurance on it.
It works, right?
Yes. And I tell people, you don't have to have like the 50,000, the 100,000, yeah, yeah, the 100 yeah. to 300, the 500. Have the 10 to 20.
Yeah.
Have something.
Wow.
Because you don't want to believe how many people cry. They're like, Samantha, where am I supposed to get this money from? Mm. This is somebody hit me. How is it fair?
Yeah.
Like these people are literally texting me. They're like, I don't understand. And then the governor was supposed to do these new laws and they was vetoed. I'm like, what do you expect?
Wow.
What do you expect? But no, more than 70% of people do not carry uninsured motorists or bodily injury. They only have basic PIP because in the state of Florida, you're only required to have personal injury protection, which is a $10,000 in medical bills.
Wow.
And then a lot of them. So like this week was my discussion was yeah. rent a car. I must have done 100 shows on just having a rent-a-car. Mm. A lot of them had no rent-a-car coverage.
Yeah.
None. And they have to pay now $60-70 a day to have a rent-a-car.
Wow.
Because they never took out the rent-a-car coverage. Mm. And I tell people, and then they want to blame the insurance agent or they want
to
blame this person.
They sell it
and
to
I'm like,
or...
correct. And I'm like, listen, if it's not on the paper,
yeah.
read.
Yeah.
Everything on your contract. That is what I tell them. Make sure you're reading every single piece of paper. Make sure you know that you are, when you get into a car accident, you have $45 a day up to 30 days for rent a car.
Right.
You have $20,000 for bodily injury. You have $20,000 for uninsured motorists. You have $10,000 for PIP. Take the lowest. I don't care.
Yeah. And this it's so crazy because you can do all of this online. Like, you couldn't used to just log in and make changes. Like,
you can do it on the app.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with Progressive now, but I was with Geico for a really long time. And then they tried to, like, I bought my house. So when my zip code changed from West Palm to Fort Lauderdale, it just, like, jacked up. My rate, and I'm like, I shouldn't have told them I changed my license because...
You should have stayed in West Palm.
I should have stayed in West Palm because it really boosted my stuff. She's like, well, you know, just go in the system and play around with the numbers. And I was like, all right, okay, do I need this? Do I need that? But I'm like, yo, give me everything because, I mean, I got backup cars now, thank God.
No, you wouldn't believe how many people have Ubers and they don't... And this is the funny part. You're in an Uber, okay, or you're in a Lyft.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say they have Progressive. Progressive just thinks that's their ride. Once they find out that they're doing Uber, Progressive drops them completely.
Really?
And let's say you get into a car accident in the Uber and the Uber's at fault, you're screwed.
Really?
Mm-hmm. You wouldn't believe how many people drive Uber and Lyfts and do not tell the insurance company that they're driving Uber and Lyft because it triples the pricing.
Mm.
And then I get very irate clients and I'm like, you're screaming and yelling at me where... I'm not the one that hit you.
So what would that do? That bump you up to like you probably got to get something more like commercial?
For Uber and Lyft, yeah. 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 But they don't tell them because then you're paying more money.
So you're going to have to do more McDonald's trips to be able to.
There you go. But imagine you're an Uber passenger. Oh. And that Uber gets in trouble. Oh. You are now responsible. Your insurance now has to pick it up. And let's say you have no insurance.
Oh, I need to check the Uber app button and say I need to check who's picking me up stuff.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, a lot of Ubers have been getting in trouble because of that. Because they did not tell their insurance company that they drive Uber.
Mm. Yeah. That's a little request, Gary. Get in somebody's car and be like, hi, Manuel, can I see you?
A lot of them don't have it. They don't have it. And you know what's funny? I could play devil's advocate. It's so expensive. How can I blame them?
Yeah, they would never make money.
Correct. It is so expensive to have that insurance.
My thing with insurance, and the insurance thing is like for me, so I've never been in no accidents.
Knock on wood.
This is more of a composite, but this will work, right? I've never been in no accidents. I should be rewarded for paying insurance since 16. I'm 38 now. Somebody should just have cut me a check by now of just like, you know what? That boy is a good driver.
Good luck.
What do we get for being accident free and all
your insurance rates does not go up.
It don't go up, but it don't go down.
But there you go. A lot of people don't realize because listen, I haven't been in an accident in almost 16 plus years.
Yeah.
And I'm like, my insurance went up almost $214 last year. And I'm like, why? They're like, cost of living. I said, so what happens if I was in a car accident? Oh, your insurance would have went up over $500.
Wow.
But my insurance goes up every single year, and their excuse is cost of living.
Huh.
And I'm like, that's just crazy.
That's my thing. Like, my wife is on blood thinners probably for the rest of her life. They only make two versions of blood thinners, Xarelto and Eliquis. Insurance for her is like crazy, something like $400 a month or something. If she did not have insurance, a 1 month bottle of supply of blood thinners is $625. There's no generic version. There's no over-the-counter version. I'm like, who could afford something that they need to live for if you have to pay almost $600 a month for just a little 30 count of pills?
A lot of people can't afford it.
And I'm just like, what? Insurance is a joke to me.
But yet, the insurance will pay for normal people that's not a diabetic, and now it's supposed to be, I don't know if you know what Ozempic is, mm-hmm. or Mounjaro, which is a weight loss injection that everybody and their mother is on right now.
Really?
Like, diabetic patients can't even get Ozempic. Because so many people that are not diabetics taking Ozempic so that they can lose weight. You can lose massive weight on Ozempic and Mounjaro. And the insurance company is covering it. Yet the diabetics can't get it.
Oh, my God.
For CVS, for Walgreens, they're all out because I'm a diabetic. And when I was taking that, there was a one time that I had to wait 6 months and I had to go to a compounding pharmacy.
Wow.
So I had to go to a compounding pharmacy so they can compound my Ozempic for my diabetic. And I'm like, you're not even a diabetic. You are injecting this in your stomach and in your body, and you have no clue what it's going to do to you.
Oh,
none.
My gosh.
It didn't make me lose weight. It made me regulate my blood sugar.
Wow.
But you have normal people where was just injecting just to lose weight, and their insurance company is covering that. But yet they won't get your wife's medication.
I feel like the whole insurance in big pharma, I mean, it's all a money play, of course, right? Like, my wife's doctor was like, have you ever tried to just go and get your medicine in Canada? And I was like, what? So, yeah, the doctor told me I should just go get my medicine in Canada. Everything is, like, reasonable. And then we called Canada. It's like, oh, yeah, man, we can do, like, 150 of those pills for about $100. I'm just like, oh, I'd rather book a flight to take you to Canada to go get them before I give these clowns $600 a month for Xarelto.
So here's the difference. You can go to Mexico and you can go to Dominican Republic, which is two countries I absolutely love because I love what they do.
Mm.
the pharmacy is literally right in the airport. Especially, like, shout out to Dominican Republic. We just went there.
Que lo que?
No, because we just went there for spring break.
Okay.
And the pharmacy is literally in the airport. Okay. Huh. You can get Cipro. You can get amoxicillin for kids and adults. You can get so many drugs without a prescription.
Hmm.
And I think that's amazing because you know why? More power to people. To me, Dominican Republic, I give them the shout out because I give them mad respect that not only do you have it right in the airport as people are leaving and coming and going, but they can get all these things. You know how much it is to go get amoxicillin for a kid? You have to go pay your $50 copay to the pediatrician. Then you have to pay $45 for your copay after you pick it up from the Walgreens or CVS when you can just buy it. You can buy it from these countries without a prescription.
Samantha dropping. Y'all thought y'all was just going to get car accident referral game. She giving us all the game. So what's next for you? Where do you want to see cars let's say 3 years from now?
I want everyone to know about cars. I really do. Like, listen, I'm a one-man show, okay? Everybody thinks, like, I have this big, big team. I get that all the time. They're like, you must have, like, 50, you know, people. I'm like, listen, it's hard to get people to work for you.
Right.
Much less to do what you do. For cars, I just want everybody knowing about it is what I want. You know, I do a lot of charity work, and it's funny. I literally just took my kids a couple days ago to see the Sound of Freedom. And my top three charities is Against Human Sex Trafficking, Anti-Bullying, and Foster Kids.
Mm.
And I think every single parent should take their kids to see Sound of Freedom. Because let me tell you something, even if you are not a parent and you go see that movie, we were in a movie theater with probably over 60, 70 people. And every single man and woman were crying.
Mm.
Every single one of them. To see this movie and to know that it's a true story, that could have been any one of our kids.
Mm.
People don't realize last year was over $187 billion made through human sex trafficking of selling kids.
Wow.
And just to put it out there, you know, Florida right now is number two in the U.S. And Palm Beach is the number one city for human sex trafficking. The number one city in the U.S. where kids are being taken. And 36% of boys that are being taken. So it's not only just a girl thing. It's a boy and a girl thing.
Wow.
So I encourage people to get involved. If you can donate, if you can volunteer time, you know, we need you doing Against Human Sex Trafficking.
Wow.
That is a big thing. Like, don't wait for your kid to be part of that. Right. Do something about it.
Hmm. So this platform that I have, it's not really only entrepreneurs, but it's maybe somebody that they got a 9-to-5. They got a little something on the side that they hoping one day replaces their 9-to-5. What's one piece of advice you could leave for somebody even just looking to start their own whatever?
I always tell people, do it for the F word. And the F word for me is freedom. Mm. There was one time that I was making a lot of money in my 20s, but I was literally tied to the job. I was there every morning at 6 o'clock and I was leaving till 9, 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
I was making a crap load of money, but not enjoying it. Mm. Whatever you want to do, money will always come. But make sure that you also have the freedom that you can work anywhere in the world, the freedom that you can do anything. You don't always have to clock in and out.
Yeah.
Money will always, always be made. But you want to set yourself up to where you have the freedom not only to enjoy it, but to enjoy yourself and your family.
I love that.
So I would tell them to just focus on what you can do and have the ability to where you can work anywhere in the world with just a cell phone and a tablet. Because then you can go anywhere. You can make millions and millions of dollars. But like I tell people, it's all about the F word. Like you, like when I do a lot of talks at these high schools, every single one of them, when I ask them, like if I ask 90% of them, each one of them are like, well, I want to do this for money. I want to do this for money. And I'm like, okay, let me ask you a question. Let's say now you're making $250,000, okay? But you are tied to a 7 a.m. to a 7 p.m. job. Mm-hmm. By the time you get home, you're exhausted. And then you're working on the weekends. And they're like, wow, you're right. I'm like, exactly. You can make a lot of money. But if you're not enjoying yourself and you're not having fun, what's the point? You're going to die of stress and your money is still going to be there and you're going to be dead and gone. So to me, do what makes you happy and do something where you can always work wherever you are. I love that I can go to any country and do videos. Yeah. I love that I can do my calls. I can call into the radio just by my cell phone. Yeah. I don't have to go to the radio station anymore. So I would encourage them to do whatever makes them happy. And one thing I would tell them is do it in silence. There's so many people that have an opinion for every single thing. Do it in silence. Yeah. you know, just do your thing. Like everything I've done so far, I've done in silence, including naming our kids. Yeah. Like people did not know the names of our kids until each one of them I popped out, because everybody has a, you know, an opinion. Yes. Everybody. So to me, just do it. Don't talk about it. Just do it, do it, do it. And if somebody tells you that you're not going to do it, listen, most people that hear me on the radio, they know my motto. I don't get even, I get more successful. Mm. So the more you tell me I can't do it, the more I'm going to do it. Find that. What fuels you and empower that.
I love that.
Yeah.
Man, y'all been tuned in to another episode of the Everyday Game Changers. This episode definitely was no different. Samantha dropping pharmacy gems. She giving us attorney gems. I appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the Everyday Game Changers podcast with Barry and McQueen. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. If you enjoyed the show, leave us a review. Follow us on Instagram at Everyday Game Changers or on our official website, www.everydaygamechangers.com.